Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Veronica.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly fine.
Lovely. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
It's only a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Now, neurodiversity is a concept, a viewpoint that certain people have, learning and thinking differences rather than inferiorities. Now, the concept has been around for and many years, and in a nutshell, it means that the brain differences are just that, differences. And with this month being Autism Awareness Month, we're going to talk about the strides that have been made, as well as work that still needs to be done in order to make our education system more inclusive and supportive of neurodivergent learners. Now, before we begin, Veronica, please do tell us about yourself and how you got involved in this important work.
All right. Thank you for asking. So, as was mentioned, my name is Veronica Mwinyo, and I am live from the very sunny Namibia, and I am a speech communicate practitioner, which means I help people who don't use speech. I help them to communicate in a letter. And people of all kinds, not just autistic people, but the majority of my clients are autistic, because that just happens to be the dynamic or the group, the community that really struggles with that kind of issue. What got me started? Well, when I was about 15, someone close to me was diagnosed with autism. I have been working in and around the world of autism for a long time. Mm-hmm. And then I was introduced particularly to the non-speaking world, which means that these are people that can't use speech as a reliable form of communication. Mm-hmm. So this person was born, I love them so much, and they were diagnosed with autism, and I got through the journey with them, and now I'm just, you know, on a different kind of field. And I was a headmistress of a school at one point, but yeah, and now I am fully a speech to communicate practitioner.
Oh, okay. That's quite an interesting, very lovely to hear that. Now, there's been a lot of education about autism spectrum disorder, but for those who are not familiar, what exactly is that?
Yeah, that is quite a question. Hey, what exactly? So we often talk about it as a different way of your brain just existing, right? Mm-hmm. So we have iOS and we have Android. And these two, you know, just two completely different things work very well if they, you know, are accommodated in whatever way that they function, right? Mm-hmm. So we don't think iOS is better than Android, and we don't think Android is better than iOS. It's just a living with autism. So
Veronica, could you please just move around? I think we're losing you a bit there. Then the line is cutting. Just move around and see, because we started
the
nicely.
Line cutting. Oh no!
Now it's
sorry
actually
about that.
The line is deteriorating. I'm not sure, because we started really well when we're starting, and I noticed
is
that.
Is it?
Yeah, there you come.
It's getting worse and worse. Is this better?
That's better. Yeah.
I'm glad to hear. Okay, so I'm going to start again with the Android versus iOS kind of description.
Yes, please.
It's just a difference in how the brains operate. It's just a difference in, you know, how people receive stimuli and also then reflect it into the world. And autistic people are no, you know, they're no different in terms of, they're not inferior to neurotypical people. They're just different. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes what you will see is because of sensory issues, they might walk on their tippy toes, and they might have a really difficult time with sound. They have a lot of sensory, you know, differences. But then also, a lot of these people can be quite environmentally cautious human beings. You know, we have like the Greta Thunberg, who's super interested, I don't know if I said her surname correct, but who's super interested in the environment. So sometimes we think, oh, but they're not compassionate and they're not empathetic. Well, they are, but on a larger scale, not necessarily to where, you know, we would think about it. But yeah, it's just a difference of operating. And this is why we think about neurodiversity, neuro meaning brain. So it's just the diversity of the brain. Yeah.
Quite interesting. Now, with all the conversation around ASD, have there been any
sorry about that
that's fine have there been any notable improvements in society in the way that we understand and support neurodivergent people?
You know what I think has actually been something that we should pride ourselves in, especially as Africans, is our ability to listen to autistic people and the autistic experience. The people that have contributed significantly towards my knowledge, the people who I would refer to as experts, are autistic people themselves. So it's very it's very important that we listen to autistic voices. That's the first thing. But also, I think we're making strides in something that we call presuming competence. Now, I speak about this because as Africans, we naturally do that. We don't naturally in our community speak down on someone who is quite different. We try to incorporate them into our lives. And I think this is something that has, from my perspective, has really enhanced how we operate and deal with autistic children. Yeah.
True. Now, what would you say, you've been in this world for quite a while, what would you say are some of the biggest challenges facing the neurodivergent learners, especially in schools?
I think the biggest challenge is communication. If a child is a non-speaker, you'd have a 17-year-old who's doing 3 years' work, which is unfair, and it's just degrading because we don't think that they're capable. We don't think that they have the intellect, and we don't use the methods that are, helpful for them to have the communication that they need. The second thing I think is just isolation. I think that a lot of people who do not have autistic children are quite worried about, oh no, please give the child away from my child, which is so unfair. This child doesn't actually get integrated into our communities. I think one of the biggest deals is the teachers are just not, I don't know what the case is in South Africa, but in Namibia, the teachers are really not educated as to how to deal with these children. And so they don't put in as much effort. You go to a special needs school and all they do is color in for like 5 hours a day. There's no real incorporating, no real attempt to get their brains to develop and so on, which is unfair because just because someone doesn't speak or someone has one or other disability doesn't mean that they're not capable or intelligent enough at all. Yeah.
True. Actually, agree with you there 100%. Now, I think you've touched this in a bit, but I'd like you to really just expand on it. What do you think still needs to be done in our education systems to make sure that schools are more inclusive and supportive, right from the entry when the child enters that the education system, but to when they exit the system?
Absolutely. So I think that the most important thing is we need to comply with the UN CRPD, the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, which is they mention nothing about us without us. So when you are doing a school, you're starting a school that you say is for special needs or for autistic people or an inclusive school, you need to have people who, who are having these kind of diagnoses there to proofread. You know what I mean? For example, you wouldn't have a wheelchair place without conducting or consulting someone who is a wheelchair user, right? So you need to get those people in because they are the experts, right? That's the first thing. We need to be in constant communion with these people because it's for them that we're trying to do these things. So we can't isolate the adults and the speakers and say, no, you stay over there, we're gonna help and deal with this. The second thing, we need to presume competence. Presume competence means you think and we treat people as if they're intelligent enough. We speak to people. You meet a 17-year-old who's a non-speaker and you're still speaking to them as if they're three. That is so unfair. That's degrading. That's inhumane. And it's so unfair for this person and their sense of self, right? So we treat everyone with respect and value. And even the person is not responding, you still speak to them as if just to bring that value because everyone deserves some form of integrity. And then at the end of the day, I think one of the most important things is understanding sensory issues because those are different. Those vary from child to child, from adult to adult. For example, I can't stand loud noises. So, there are accommodations in place to help me with loud noises. But, other people can't stand things touching their skin. So this is just a sensory thing. And we need to be aware of the differences in sensory needs. And the idea is not to make autistic people more neurodivergent, neurotypical. The idea is to accommodate them and help them thrive in who they are.
Yes. Very, very important. Now, before I let you go, Veronica, what would you say are some of the most sensitive issues? Because I do know that people are not really educated. So neurodivergent people in general, what are some of, and in your observation as you've worked with them throughout, some of the literally absolutely never do?
I never do. I'm glad you asked that question, because I think that one of the things that we really, really don't take, we don't understand, is the eye contact thing, where a lot of autistic people just generally don't enjoy doing eye contact. And because we are socialized to believe that if a person is making eye contact, they're honest so forth and so on. But a lot of autistic people don't make eye contact, and we shouldn't pressure people to make eye contact.
Oh, okay.
I think that's really one of the things that I've seen kind of across the board, because, you know, sensory issues differ, accommodations differ, but eye contact is really a thing. I have two friends who are autistic themselves, and they just don't make eye contact. You know, they can be talking about really important things, but they won't look at you. It doesn't mean that they're not listening. It doesn't mean that they're not paying attention. They just can't, you know, they can't handle the sensory of looking at you while also perceiving, what are you thinking? What are you talking about? And understanding what you're saying. So it's just much better. I think it's really a big deal, and a lot of people enforce that, especially to children. You must look at me. No. It's quite intimidating, as a lot of them say. And as I say, like, really listen to autistic people. There are lots of blogs. There are lots of, you know, things that you can get to that actually speak from the autistic experience. And I always say that the autistics are the experts. We're just merely, you know, reflecting their voices louder. Mm-hmm.
Now, as a person who is a educator and educating people who are neurodivergent, what kind of ability or skill is necessary?
Flexibility, because the information that you had last year is not the information that you have this year, and so you need to be flexible enough to move around and say, okay, cool, this is not helping, or this is not really something that I see little Johnny is responding to, so let me change tactics. That's really important. You need to be able to be flexible and think on your feet, but also have so much patience for yourself and the kids, because I think what we forget is that it's a learning journey for all of us involved, So, I mean, these kids are all different. There's no one autistic human being who's like a different autistic human being. They might have similar traits. It's in the same way that my hair is completely different from yours, if you have hair. We won't treat it the same. You understand what I mean? So we have to have that patience with ourselves to know that we're walking a journey with individuals. And once we reach, you know, a certain point, these are human beings that we're dealing with at the end of the day. So we must be patient with ourselves and with them.
Fantastic. Well, Veronica, I must thank you so much for your time. Truly, truly appreciate your time. I honestly have learned quite a bit myself, actually, because I didn't know the issue about eye contact. I've learned quite a bit about that. Thank you so much, Veronica Mwinjo. Did I pronounce it correctly?
It's a soft nyo, Mwinjo, like a Y
Mwinjo.
Almost.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much, Veronica.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a lovely rest of your day.
Lovely. Thank you. Have a good one, too.
Bye.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.